We're going to begin in the little letter, Second Kepha, Second Peter, chapter 1, page 1521. My whole message is couched in this particular scripture, so I'll be jumping around, but consistently going back to this. So if you're going to use your Bibles at all, mark this page and keep it marked, because we'll keep rolling through this. Michaeline, I'll probably just read through this in the first reading. It's from Shimon Kepha, beginning in chapter 1, verse 1, 2 Kepha, 2 Peter. From Shimon Kepha, a slave and emissary of Yeshua the Messiah, to those who through the righteousness of God and our deliverer Yeshua the Messiah have been given the same kind of trust as ours. May grace and shalom be yours in full measure as you come to a full knowledge of God and Yeshua our Lord. God's power has given us everything we need for life and godliness through our knowing the one who called us into his own glory and goodness. By these he has given us valuable and superlatively great promises, so that through them you might come to share in God's nature and escape the corruption which evil desires have brought into the world. For this very reason, try your hardest to furnish your faith with goodness, goodness with knowledge, knowledge with self-control, self-control with perseverance, perseverance with godliness, godliness with brotherly affection with love. For if you have these qualities in abundance, they will keep you from being barren and unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Yeshua the Messiah. Indeed, whoever lacks them is blind, so short-sighted that he forgets that his past sins have been washed away. Therefore, brothers, try even harder to make your being called and chosen a certainty. For if you keep doing this, you will never stumble. Thus, you will be generously supplied with everything you need to enter the eternal kingdom of our Lord and deliverer Yeshua the Messiah. As I was going through my week early on, maybe been last weekend, this scripture kind of kissed me. And I was focused into it all week long in my subconscious as I kept chewing on it and rolling over it. And it's such a wealth of grace, of the revelation of the call of God upon our lives to walk out through his kingdom, that I just felt the leading to go through this point by point in a message this Shabbat. So we'll begin back in verse 1. It is from Shimon Kepha, so it is from Kepha, it is from Peter, who calls himself a slave and emissary, which is an apostle of Yeshua the Messiah. It's written to, who's it written to? It's a letter. It's written to those who through the righteousness of God and our deliverer Yeshua the Messiah have been given the same kind of trust as ours. So it's talking about a couple things here. It's through the righteousness of our God and of our deliverer Yeshua the Messiah. This is an unfortunate translation that David threw into this, because the of our does not exist in the original language and does not exist in the terminology, and it's very important to understand that when he wrote it, says through the righteousness of our God and deliverer Yeshua the Messiah. It changes the meaning a little bit when you put of the again, and it doesn't exist there. But when you want to again, you want to copyright a Bible, you have to change words or you can't copyright it. And he threw in a couple extra words there that I think takes away from the meanings. Because Yeshua is our God and deliverer, because Yeshua is God. And I just want to point that out to you, because it's something that's in this particular interpretation that's a little bit of a flaw that could take you away from that understanding. But it's talking about the righteousness of God. Because it's through the righteousness of God and the Messiah and our deliverer, the Messiah. It's through his righteousness that we have been given the same trust. So the righteousness of God, Tehillim, Psalms 145, on page 937, verse 17. Adonai is righteous in all his ways, full of grace in all that he does. So when you talk about the Lord, Adonai in Hebrew, Lord, the Lord. you're talking about somebody who's righteous in everything that he does. Everything about God is righteousness. And it's through his righteousness that we get. Through his righteousness. And everything about him is righteousness and grace. Everything about God is righteousness and grace. And so it's his righteousness that we talk about. When we talk about our righteousness, we're talking about his righteousness through us and to us. So again, going back to, which the computer doesn't do, but if you go back to that scripture, that through the righteousness of our God and deliverer Yeshua the Messiah, have been given the same kind of trust as ours. The same kind of trust in ours. The Stern translation always calls faith trust for reasons most of you are familiar with because I've explained that extensively. In the letter to Messianic Jews, or Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1, trust is being confident of what we hope or convinced about the things we do not see. So the T is a footnote that's quoting Scripture. But I want you to understand what it's saying. It says that through the righteousness of our God and deliverer, Yeshua Messiah, through his righteousness, we have been given the confidence of that which we hope for that convinces us of that which we do not see. Because we are called to live a life of trust or a life of faith. And it's important for us to understand that. As an example, if every time you prayed for somebody or prayed about something, it happened, you would never have to live by faith. You wouldn't have to live by faith. If God instantly answered every one of your requests, you would never learn what trusting God was about. You would never learn what faith was about. And you would probably, unfortunately, forget that it was God giving you everything. It would just, life would work smoothly. But we are called to walk a walk of trust, a walk of faith. And it's through his righteousness, because he's righteous in all that he does, through his righteousness, through our God and deliverer, Yeshua the Messiah's righteousness, that we have been given the trust. We have been given the faith that allows us to be confident for what we hope for and absolutely convinced about the things we do not see. Which is why we can talk about, you get to choose the greatest reality you walk out in this world. You can choose the reality of the world, which your senses can adapt to and recognize, or you can walk in the reality of the kingdom, which is walking by trust. Because you don't always understand or see that. But it's the greater reality nonetheless. And it's through the righteousness of our God and Messiah that we can walk this walk of trust. It's the same trust given to everybody. It's accessible to anybody in the world that wants to trust God can step up and trust God. And that's what faith is. Step up and trust God. Step up and trust God. Okay, back to 2 Kephas, 2 Peter, verse 2. May grace and shalom be yours in full measure as you come to a full knowledge of God and Yeshua our Lord. May grace and shalom be yours in full measure. You need this full measure of grace and shalom, and peace. Talk about grace. I think we talked about this last week, so I'm not going to go in depth into it. But I second 2 Corinthians 6:1, page 1444. As God's fellow workers, we also urge you not to receive his grace and then do nothing with it. Didn't I speak on that last week?
Yes.
I thought I did. So I'm not going to go into depth this, but you need grace to its full measure. But grace is not sitting there waiting for God to do something. Because grace and faith are married together. And your trust of God allows you to go out and do things that are absolutely impossible that you don't begin to understand. Because you're walking a walk of trust. And the grace empowers you to walk that walk of trust, which comes through the righteousness of God, our Messiah. And so you could walk in grace, which will fulfill the trust that allows you to go far beyond your human capabilities to see the supernatural things of God become the natural things of your life as you walk these things out. You need grace to its full measure. You also need shalom to its full measure. You need peace. You need peace. There's not near enough peace in this world, and there's not near enough peace in the body of Messiah. People get distracted. People get rattled. It's unbelievable how believers can be so shook up and full of fear, full of uncertainty, absolutely distracted by everything in the world that is going on, and not seeing through their eyes of trust in God the faith to have the grace that will rise up and give us the peace that God gives to us. In Yochanan in John 14, 27, page 1350, the Messiah speaking, what I am leaving you with is shalom. He said, I am leaving you, but I'm going to leave you something. I'm going to leave you shalom. I'm going to leave you peace, and I'm giving you my shalom, the Messiah says. I'm giving you my shalom. I don't give the way the world gives. Don't let yourselves be upset or frightened. Don't be upset or frightened. Too many believers run around upset and frightened. People are all the time upset, frightened. Why? Because the world is a little mishugana. Things have been worse. Things will get worse. Irregardless, the kingdom of God is completely stable. God's not fretting over the things that we fret over. And as people of the kingdom, we get to choose whether we're going to walk a walk of trust and faith in God. And it's through the righteousness of God, through His righteousness, that we can have that full measure of grace, that full measure of trust, that full measure of shalom, complete peace, not the way the world gives peace. Not the way the world gets peace. In the world, we can agree we'll all get along together in spite of our differences. That's the world's way of making peace. The kingdom's way of making peace is we are all one as God is one. And the only differences we have is the baggage that we are supposed to leave behind us and press on to the mark of the high calling of God in our lives. And who cares about where we came from, because we're all headed in the same direction to the same place. And so the peace of the kingdom is not that we agree to get along in spite of our differences. The peace of the kingdom is we are not different. We are the same. We are forgiven sinners who through the grace of God are now the people of the kingdom serving the King. And it's all about God. And it's all about the Messiah. And our differences mean nothing to us. It doesn't matter what our backgrounds are. Your backgrounds are Christians. The backgrounds of Arab Muslims, CIS Muslims, Palestinian Muslims, Israelis. All these vast differences that exist mean absolutely nothing in the kingdom of God. There is the King and the people of the kingdom. And we are the people of the kingdom. And we don't just agree to get along because we're different. We are called to be one as God is one. Complete unity. Complete unity, complete peace, complete peace. Because the peace we have is not the world's peace, it's the kingdom's peace. It's the kingdom's peace. It's Messiah's peace. My peace I give you. It's the Messiah's peace. We are the people of the Messiah, right? So may grace and shalom be yours in full measure as you come to the full knowledge of God and Yeshua our Lord. As you come to a full knowledge of God and Yeshua our Lord. Nobody has arrived yet. Hopefully we're moving. Hopefully you're not the same place you were 6 months ago or a month ago. Hopefully you have a greater revelation of God today than you had last week, frankly. You should be moving, growing in your relationship with God. And so as you come to this full knowledge of God, you need your grace in its fullness, shalom in its fullness. As you grow in the fullness of the knowledge of God. The knowledge of God in Yeshua our Lord. That's try to do a Bible study on the knowledge of God. I selected Hosea chapter 6, page 712, verse 3, because I like the terminology. Okay, I was going to go on a trail. I won't. I'll keep focused. I have a lot of scriptures. I'll go on a trail later. Hosea 6:3. Let us know. Let us strive to know Adonai. Are you striving to know God, or do you accept that you know Him? Too many believers say, "Oh, I know God. I became a believer, you know, a week ago, a day ago, 3 days ago, 10 years ago, 50 years ago. I know God. I know God." No, let us strive to know Him. Let's strive after this. Let's strive after this relationship, that He will come as certain as the morning. He will come like the rain, like the spring rains that water the earth. Like the spring rains that water the earth. God is coming. Messiah is coming back. Okay? God is still the Creator God who will once again take control of this, His creation, at the appropriate time. And He's waiting, which we talked about last week, because of His mercy. You need to come to this fullness of the knowledge of Adonai as you work out the walk out the fullness of His grace, of His shalom, of His trust, which comes through His righteousness. It all comes through Him, but it all comes through Him to us. Let us know, let us strive to know Him. Let us strive to know Him. Cry out to God to know Him even more than you know Him. I don't care where you are. You can cry out to God to know Him more. To know Him more. Don't accept where you are right now. I don't care where you are right now. Cry out to God, "I want to know You more. I want to know You more. I want a deeper relationship with You. I want You, more of You, more of You, more of You, more of You." Back to 1 Kefa, we're down to verse 3. God's power has given us everything we need for life and godliness through our knowing the One who called us to His own glory and goodness. And so look at what it's saying. God's power has given us everything we need for life and godliness. It's His power that allows you to live out a life of godliness. And you get it through knowing the One who called us into His glory. He called us into His goodness. God's power. That's about as much fun in the Bible as God's knowledge. Divrei Hayamim Aleph, 1 Chronicles, page 1183, verse 29, or excuse me, chapter 29, verses 11 and 12. Yours, Adonai, is the greatness, the power, the glory, the victory, the majesty. There's a good way to start. Yours is the greatness, the power, the glory, the victory, the majesty. For everything in heaven on earth is Yours. It's all about God. It's all about the Messiah, kids. And we say, yours, Adonai, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty. For everything on earth and heaven is yours. The kingdom is yours, Adonai. And you are exalted as head over all. Whether they all know it or not, it doesn't matter. You are exalted as head over all. Verse 12. Riches and honor come from You. Riches and honor come from God. You rule everything in Your hand as power and strength. You have the capacity to make great and give strength to all. God's big enough to meet every need that you have and then some. We have a big God, right? We have a big God. big God. And God's power has given us everything we need for life and godliness, right? Right. His power. He's got it. He gives everything we need for life in godliness. The Messiah in Yochanan in John chapter 5, page 1335. Verse 24, Yochanan, John 5:24, Yeshua said, "Yes, indeed, I tell you that whoever hears what I am saying and trusts the one who sent me has eternal life." Has eternal life. Not will get eternal life, will get to eternal life, but has eternal life. That is, he will not come up for judgment, but has already crossed over from death to life. Hallelujah. Already crossed over. Already crossed over. There's no death in our future. Bodies wear out. Amen. But you know what? Yeshua said, if you believe me, you're never going to die. You think you can handle that? So I like to believe it. I'm all full of fear because the world's a crazy place. I'm all full of life's too uncertain. Life's too difficult. The world's too messy. My life, I have these special circumstances and I can't walk in trust because I don't have enough trust. Well, my trust comes through his righteousness. And his grace empowers me to walk out that life of trust. And I have complete shalom because Yeshua says I have his shalom, not the world's shalom. Why do I have to walk around like a fruitcake? Do things go wrong in the world? All things go crazy in the world. Everyone has, if we came up, there's quite a few of us here, but we took the time, everyone come up with a story, just something that happened last week. You wouldn't believe, how something went wrong that just didn't have to. That's what I'm talking about. It's a thing that didn't have to go wrong. Some things just go wrong. You say, some things go wrong. It's like, that didn't need to go wrong. And sometimes they go wrong really quick when you're least expecting them. But you know what? Praise God. It's all about God. It's all about the Messiah. You know what? I walk in eternal life now. I don't know about you. I'm not going to wait till I die to start tasting eternal life. I'm going to walk in eternal life. I'm an eternal being right now. It's all about God. It's all about the Messiah. I choose his reality all the time. It's a lot better than mine. I don't know about yours. Maybe your reality is so great you don't need God. I prefer God's reality to my reality. I can't always understand where I am. God's power has given us everything we need for life and godliness. Godliness. Titus 2. Page 1421, verse 11 and 12. Titus 2, verse 11. God's grace, which brings deliverance, has appeared to all people. All people. All people are open to the grace of God. And the grace of God is what brings deliverance. It empowers you to step up into trust. Grace empowers you to trust, to accept. There's a God who's bigger than you are, who's better than you are, and who loves you more than you can understand. It's God's grace to empower you to step up to that trust. It's appeared to all people. Everybody in the world can turn to the Creator God and say, there's a big God out there that I don't understand, is much bigger than me, and I want to have a relationship with that God. Not all these other gods. I want that God that did all this. And you know what? There's always been a way since Israel's been Israel. Prior to the Messiah, we had Sukkot, Feast of Tabernacles, which we sacrificed for the nations. Since the Messiah, you have the Messiah sacrifice, which is for everybody. God's grace, which brings deliverance, has appeared to all people, verse 12. It teaches us to renounce godlessness. It teaches us to renounce godliness and godlessness and worldly pleasures, and to live self-controlled, upright, godly lives now in this age. Oh, this age is a lot more difficult than that age. Ha! Everyone has an excuse. You know what? Your special circumstances aren't that special. I'm sorry. Some of you have really hard stories. Let me introduce somebody else that's sitting near you that has a harder story than yours. Come on. This is the West. This is America. We've got to grow up and accept what God has done for us. And we've got to strive after these things. God's power has given us everything we need for life and godliness. Godliness is the opposite of worldliness. You're being godly when you're not being worldly, okay? That's the two kingdoms. One is worldliness, the other is godliness. And what God has given us teaches us to renounce everything that is godless and worldly and to walk that in godliness. God's power has given us everything we need for life and godliness through the knowing of the one who called us into his own glory and goodness. How do you get there? By knowing the one. You've got to know the one. And you've got to know the one intimately, you and him. Your maker, your husband. You need to know him. You need to know him. It's not enough that you're parents, that your spouse, that your best friend, that your rabbi, that somebody else knows him. You need to know him. You need to know him. The one. I don't know where I'm in my notes. Just give me another scripture and I'll go with you. Galatians 6:14, page 1458. Galatians 6:14. As for me, heaven forbid I should boast about anything except the execution stake of the Lord Yeshua the Messiah. Through him, as far as I'm concerned, the world has been put to death on a stake. And through him, as far as the world is concerned, I've been put to death. This is how I choose to try to walk out. Anytime I'm out there in the world, heaven forbid that it should be anything but God the Messiah here. I don't want anything else. I just don't want anything else. Because nothing else is important to me. Nothing else is significant to me. Through him, as far as I'm concerned, the world's put to death. The world means nothing. It's all about his kingdom. It's about his reality. The world means nothing. It's about his kingdom. My duty is to redeem that broken world out there that makes some of us crazy. Instead of making it crazy, to redeem it into the kingdom. And as far as the world is concerned, I'm dead. I'm dead to the world. The world has no hold on me. Do you understand it's very hard to offend me? You can catch me in the flesh sometimes. You might be able to, but how could you offend me? Do you understand? Now, I draw a lot of passion. I'm usually either loved or hated. There's not a lot of people ambivalent about me. And for people that love me, I'm completely honored and humbled by that. People who hate me, well, they still know me that well. I don't take it personal. I'm not going to get upset. I have the peace of Messiah. I get to choose that reality. Because of the grace of God, I can trust God enough to say, I have peace. Maybe I shouldn't have peace. Well, that's what the world might think. God says I do. God says I do. Back to 2 Kephas, 2 Kephas, we're chapter 1, verse 4 now. By these things, by everything we've been talking about, he has given us valuable and superlatively great promises, so that through them you might come to share in God's nature and escape the corruption which evil desires have brought into the world. It's evil desires that brings all the corruption into the world, because God created the world. When he created it, it was all good. The only reason there's any corruption in the world is because of evil desires. So by these he has given us valuable and superlatively great promises. Valuable and superlatively great promises. 2 Corinthians 1:20, page 1442. However promises God has made, they all find their yes in connection with him. That is why through him we say amen when we give glory to God. With Yeshua, it's always yes and amen. It's always yes and amen. God doesn't say no. He says yes and amen through Yeshua. It's just the way of the kingdom. You've got to learn some of these deeper truths in order to walk on them. And it works out well when you give glory to God. And here's one of the greatest weaknesses in the body of Messiah. God does miracles in your life and you don't give him any glory for it. You might remember to say, thank you for that great miracle. Then you'll go sit at a table in there and talk to other people about how crazy the world is instead of giving glory to God for the things he has done in your life. For the things he has done in your life. There's several brand new believers that came from all kind of backgrounds in this congregation. Some of you have received healings very, very recently. Some of you have received absolute miracles very, very recently. And you're missing giving glory to God. And when you miss giving glory to God, you diffuse the yes and amen that comes to you in the Messiah Yeshua in response to what you need in your life. Because you fail to give glory to God. Rather, you bemoan the fact that you live in a broken world. Woe is us, we is undone, because the world is a very, really messy place. You know, the messier place that God has you in the world means the more of the grace of God is in your life that you can walk out trust, that you're going to straighten out some of this mess that's around you. Because I don't know about you, but I don't accept a lot of mess in the world. Because I walk in the kingdom, and I want the kingdom stability to be all around me. And I'm very, really capable of speaking peace into really crazy situations and diffusing arguments and diffusing tempers and diffusing all kinds of things out there in the world, because it's all about God, it's all about the Messiah, and it's not about all the petty things that we actually fall apart on in the world. And people make stupid decisions all the time. Believers make stupid decisions all the time. And I accept that people make the stupid decisions all the time because I want people to accept me, that there are times when I make stupid decisions. You know what? We're walking out this in the flesh. Sometimes we do stupid things, but we walk in the strength of the righteousness of God, which is why we're righteousness. Therefore, we have trust, and the grace powers the trust so we could walk in complete peace throughout the God, and we walk out the knowledge of God and everything and on all the promises. And anything he's promised, they're yours. Just remember to give glory to God. Remember to give glory to God. Talk to people about what God has done for you. Talk to people what God has done for you. Give glory to God. Give glory to God. By these he has given us valuable, superlatively great promises, so that through them you might come to share in God's nature. You might come to share in God's nature. When you talk about sharing God's nature, it can be very uncomfortable for us. It's uncomfortable for us because we walk out most of our walk in the flesh rather than in the spirit. And there are a few scriptures that I can throw out that make you uncomfortable. This is one of them. That you have to walk out as you and share in God's nature. And I picked a little letter, 1 Yochanan, 1 John 4, verse 17, page 1527. 1 Yochanan, 1 John 4, 17. Hear us how love has been brought to maturity with us. As Messiah is, so are we in the world. You know how the Messiah is? Yeah, that's like you in the world. That's what the Messiah is. You want to tell people, show people what the Messiah is? Let them look at you. Walking through the world, and they'll understand the Messiah that you have. This gives us confidence in the day of judgment. You can be completely confident because you're the greatest revelation the world has of Messiah. Your walk, as you walk out there among them, your greatest testimony of your Messiah as they look at you. Isn't that what Scripture says? By these he's given us the value and superbly great promises, so that through them you might come to share in God's nature. As Messiah is, that's you. That's you. And if you're not walking that out, if you're uncomfortable, it's because you're not walking that out. You're walking in the flesh. You're walking in godlessness rather than godliness, because you're walking in the world and not in the kingdom. Let his light shine through you. It's his righteousness. It's his trust. It's his grace. It's his peace. Let people see it. When people look at you in the mess that you're in, because if you're out there, you're in some kind of a mess. You can't help but be in a mess if you're out there. You can't help but be in a mess. If you're out there in the world, you are in some kind of a mess. Some deeper messes than other messes, but there's messes out there that we are all involved in, and there are messy things in my life, okay? When I'm out there, there's a mess after mess that I am engaged in. That doesn't define who we are, though, because if I'm going to react in fear, well, then I'm reacting the way the world does, and that means my Messiah is fear. But if I can be in a position where I should have fear and I just have peace, well, yeah, that's the Messiah. Because it's not because I'm special, but my God is. And so God nature should be playing out in our lives, and other people should see God's nature in our lives, in your life as well as my life. In God's nature is most clearly visible not when I'm with a microphone talking to a group of people. It's when I'm out there among the people that I should be seen and recognized as totally different from those of the world, because I am the Messiah by testimony to them. And they can see who my Messiah is, they see me. And as they see you, they see your Messiah. What kind of Messiah do you have? Mine is God. Mine is God. I'm trying to figure out where I am. Just go to another scripture for me. Oh, okay, I know where I am now. By these, he gives valuables, pearly of great promises. Through them, you might come to share in God's nature and escape the corruption of evil, which evil desires have brought into the world. 1 Yochanan 2:15, do not love the world or the things of the world. If someone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Stay away from the world. Stay away from the world. Stay away from the things of the world. Quit playing with the things of the world. Be careful about playing with the religions of the world. Be careful about dabbling in the religions of the world. Messiah didn't come so we could have a good religious experience. Messiah came so we could have a relationship. Amen. And we want to dabble into religion. We want to dabble into the things of the world. And if you're going to love the world, then you don't have the love of the Father in you. You don't have the love of the Father. I was in gym the other day with Frank. Frank and I go to the same gym. And there was somebody else that comes here that was actually in the same gym. And brought a book. Great books. There's great books out there. I'm sure there's all kind of great books. And we were the three of us were talking, and he was sharing the concept of this book. And I said, I don't know, I read the Bible. You know, I'm not saying that there's not tremendous books out there. And I'm not speaking against the tremendous books that are out there. I'm saying, well, when I master the Bible, maybe I'll have time to read some more books. I have a huge library, and I'm not opposed to books. Understand that. I'm not talking against books. I'm saying I could learn what a man thinks about religion, or I could stay in the Bible. I want to be careful about the way I walk. I don't want anything from the world. I just don't want the world. I want the kingdom. What's your choice in all of these things? Just give me another scripture. I still don't know where my notes. What's the next scripture, Michaeline? 1 Yochanan 5:4. Oh, wait a minute. Go back one. Is that where I am now? Okay, now I know where I am. Back to 2 Kepha. We're down to verse 5. Chapter 1, verse 5. So we're going through. This is verse 5. Now I know where are my notes. It's nice. For this very reason, try your hardest. For this reason. Understanding all that. You know, it's foundational building. I should try your hardest. This is what I was going to talk to you about. Let's try hard for this, kids. Try your hardest to furnish your faith with goodness. Try your hardest. It's like the scripture, strive to know Adonai. Strive to know God. Try your hardest to furnish your faith, your trust, with goodness. And then furnish your goodness with knowledge. Try your hardest to unravel these things in your life. We'll start with faith. 1 Yochanan 5:4. 1 John 5:4, page 1528. Everything which has God as its Father overcomes the world. This is what victoriously overcomes the world, our trust. You want to overcome the world? It's the trust of God that overcomes the world. It's faith. Because you trust God, you overcome everything in the world. If the world is overcoming you, then the trust that you have in your God is not very important, because your God must not be that significant. Because if you had the same God that I had, you wouldn't be rattled by everything that goes wrong in the world. Of course everything goes wrong in the world. There's no promise of stability in the world. The promise the Bible gives in the world, you're going to have nothing but trouble, right? Be of good cheer. We're overcomers, kids. We're overcomers not because we are called to overcome, because we're with Him and He is the super conqueror. And so it's our trust, and furnish your trust, your faith with goodness. With goodness. What kind of goodness? Talim, Psalms 34, page 821. It's verse 8 in the Christian Bible. It's verse 9 in the Jewish Bible. Verse 9 in the Jewish Bible. It's verse 8 in the Christian Bible. Same scripture, different address. Taste and see that Adonai is good. How blessed are those who take refuge in Him. God is good. God is good. We have a good God. We don't have an angry God. God is not angry with you. God is not frustrated with you. You didn't let God down. He knew what kind of idiot you were going to be last week. And the only thing that's keeping you away from is the goodness of God, because He is good. Blessed is everyone who takes refuge in Him. You have to take refuge in Him from what? From the craziness of the world. You have to take refuge in Him, and you can do it because He's good. So you try your hardest to furnish your faith with the goodness that is in God, hiding completely in Him. Yirmiyahu, Jeremiah chapter 9. Page 565. Because you're going to take your faith, try your hardest to furnish with goodness, and take your goodness and try to furnish your hardest with knowledge. With knowledge. Yirmiyahu chapter 9, page 565, verse 23 in a Christian Bible, verse 22 in a Jewish Bible. Again, same scripture, different address. So this verse 23 is a Christian address, the Jewish address, verse 22. Here's what Adonai says. The wise man should boast not of his wisdom. The powerful should not boast of his power. The wealthy should not boast of his wealth. This is what God says to us. If you're a wise person, don't boast about that. If you're a powerful person, there are powerful people in the world, don't boast about that. If you're wealthy, don't boast about that. Verse 24, which is verse 23 in a Jewish Bible. Instead, let the boaster boast about this, that he understands and knows me, that I am Adonai, practicing grace, justice, and righteousness in the land. For in these things I take pleasure, Adonai. God says, you want to boast? You boast that you know me. You want to boast about something? You boast how much you know God. That's the only thing worth boasting about, is that I know God. I know God. That's what separates me from everybody else that's out there in the world. I know God. I know God. I don't know about God. I know God. I don't know religion. I know God. I am a lover of God, and I love Him because He first loved me. So that's not even a big shtick for me. Not something I was able to accomplish. It's all from Him, because it's all about Him. It's all about God. It's all about the Messiah. And I'm gonna try my hardest to work all this thing out. And I'm take my faith and package it with goodness, with knowledge. And then in second Kepha, verse 6. Now we're down to verse 6. I'm gonna take that knowledge with self-control with perseverance. Perseverance with godliness, and we're trying our hardest. Are we trying our hardest to furnish everything that God has given us with all these attributes that we have to strive towards as we strive to know Him? Are we really working and trying to unpack everything that God has given us? So let's talk about self-control. Let's talk about self-control. 1 Corinthians 6:12, page 1427. I love this scripture. You say, for me, everything is permitted. Maybe, but not everything is helpful. For me, everything is permitted. Maybe, but as far as I'm concerned, I'm not going to let anything gain control over me. You know, I'm free in the Messiah. I am free in the Messiah. I am free in the Messiah. And there's a lot of things that I could get away with that would not cost me my salvation. It would just cost me my relationship with God. Because my salvation is solely through the Messiah. And I know enough about the Word of God and the grace of God and the mercy of God that I know I could get away with living a pretty worldly life. And if you think that that's not right, think about your own life, how much you will live according to the world rather than the kingdom. How much fear is in your life? How much frustration is in your life? How much uncertainty is in your life? How much pride is in your life? That's the flesh. That's the things that we struggle with. And you know what? That's not good for us. And I'm going to make the decision. I'm not going to let anything gain control over me. I'm not going to let anything gain control over me. There's very little in my life I can... I couldn't say, I'm just going to give up on this. I'm going to... If I said I wanted to fast something, I'm going to fast this for 20 days, for 30 days, 40 days, 50 days, the rest of my life, I don't care. I can do that. It was 8, 10, 12 years ago. I said, I won't need more sugar. Threw out a few other things I used to eat. And that's it. Made decision. Didn't know I could ever make that decision. I could do that. You know what I couldn't get away with? You know I couldn't live without? I struggle when I get out of praise and worship very long. I need praise and worship around me. I need that kind of stuff. I need the Word of God. I need that kind of stuff. I feel like I get isolated if I get out of praise and worship very long. I listen to praise and worship a lot. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week in our home. When I go to the gym and I work out, I do that about five days a week right now. I shuffle between praise and worship and the scripture on my iPod. That's where I want to be. That's how I want to live. That's what I want to. Can I get away? Is everything permitted? Yeah, but it's not all good for me. It's self-control. Self-control. There really aren't excuses, kids. There are times when you turn on your TV and you got to turn it off. Inappropriate. Even if you're watching something, it's not supposed to be inappropriate, which is all you should be watching. Not supposed to be inappropriate. Sometimes it gets really inappropriate. I will not allow the world to enter my ears or my eyes. No, I'll turn it off. I'm going to choose these things in my life. I'm going to choose perseverance, your self-control with perseverance, Romans 5. Verses 3 and 4, page 1407, Romans 5, verses 3 and 4, perseverance. Not only that, let's all boast about our troubles, because we know that trouble produces endurance, which is another word for perseverance. You're having trouble? Good. It will strengthen you. That's a kingdom thought. It's not a worldly thought. The worldly thought is, I don't want to have any trouble. Well, no, the trouble will produce perseverance for you, or endurance. You get stronger. If you never had any problems, you'd never be a testimony to the world of how big your God is. And God wants you to be a testimony to how great He is. And one of the greatest ways you can be a testimony to how great God is in your life is to have a lot of troubles in your life and say, it doesn't matter, God is greater than this stuff. And they'll say, you must have a pretty special God if you can have peace when you should be falling apart. Verse 4. Endurance produces character. Character produces hope. You never know that you're going to get through a trial unless you've been through enough trials already and know, well, this is just a learning experience. I'm going to come out of this and go from glory to glory. giants will only scare you if you're not used to slaying giants. And God wants you slaying giants because there's a bigger one behind that one he wants you to slay. You'll never know you're going to do it unless you can do that one. People get stuck. Don't get stuck. Move on, move on. Press in. Press in. You do your best to furnish your knowledge with self-control and your self-control to perseverance and perseverance with godliness. Titus 2, verses 11 and 12. You know, I read that earlier. I shouldn't put that in my notes twice. I just said, that looks familiar. That's what I read earlier. Sorry about that. If I ever teach this again, I'll try not to do that. For God's grace, which brings deliverance, has appeared to all people, verse 12, teaches to renounce godlessness and worldly pleasure and live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives now in this age. So this age is not an excuse for you to live worldly. You can't live worldly and you can't live like you're a person of the world. You have to live like you're a person of the kingdom because that's what a godly life is about. 2 Kephas, 2 Peter 1, 7. With your godliness, do your best. Work your hardest. Strive to take your godliness and furnish it with brotherly affection, your brotherly affection with love. God is into this relationship we have with one another. Romans 12:10, page 1417. Love each other devotedly with brotherly love. Set examples for each other in showing respect. Maybe you came from a dysfunctional family, because if you came out of a family, it was probably dysfunctional. You know that? If you came out of a family, it was probably a dysfunctional family. The amount of families out there that are actually functional families are really a severe minority in the world today. I don't care where they come from. But set examples and show respect to one another. You can learn what respect is when you look at believers. Show respect to everybody. Show respect to everybody. You show respect to everybody. It doesn't matter where they came from. Set examples. Love each other devotedly. Devotedly. Be devoted to one another. Be care for one another. We're important to each other. 1 Yochanan 4:16, page 1527. 1 John 4:16, page 1527. Also, we have come to know and trust the love that God has for us. God is love. Those who remain in this love remain united with God, and God remains united with him. Because of the knowledge you have, that is the knowledge of God, which is a great knowledge, and the trust, which is empowered by the grace that allows you to walk in shalom as you walk out. Trust, you have a God who is love, and so as you have brotherly love, treat each other like brothers and sisters in complete love, you have the love of God to share with everybody in all of creation, because the God who created is a God of love. Too many people think the God of creation is an angry God and a judgmental God. No. He's a God who loves. He's a God of love. Religion has made him angry in the minds of people. He's always been a loving God. Always. Always. And the unity we have with God is the unity we can have with one another. 2 Kephah 1:8. If you have these qualities in abundance, you'll keep from being barren and unfruitful of your knowledge of our Lord Yeshua the Messiah. If you have these qualities in abundance, which you are trying your hardest to get these qualities in abundance in your lives, then you're not as sometimes in, sometimes out, sometimes up, sometimes down, sometimes happy, sometimes upset, sometimes trusting, sometimes frustrated. You're back and forth and back and forth, double-minded, unstable. Nothing works. Nothing works. Yochanan, John 15:16. Page 1351, you did not choose me, I chose you. I've commissioned you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. So that you ask my Father's name, he may give it to you. Everybody worries about the first part or the last part. Everything you ask, you can get. But it's predicated on the reality that you're going to go out and bear eternal fruit. Because that's the calling of God upon your life. 2 Kefa 1 verses 9 and 10. Indeed, whoever lacks them is blind, so short-sighted, he forgets his past sins have been washed away. If you forget this as the calling of your of God on your life, you're forgetting that God forgave your sin. And if you're sitting here right now, if you're listening to this on the computer, and you're not sure that God has forgiven you, it's as simple as going to the Creator God and say, I believe that you exist even though I don't understand it, and I know I can never be good enough for you, but I accept the gift of Messiah into my life. Allow me into your kingdom and teach me your ways. And it's a free gift. He'll let you right in. Because he loves you. And for those of you, God forgave you. Why do you think he's mad at you now? Do you understand? God forgave you. Whatever possesses you to think that God gets angry with you now, when he's the one who forgave you. Verse 10, therefore, brothers, try even harder to make your calling and election, you're being called and chosen a certainty. If you keep doing this, you will never stumble. You will never stumble. Try even harder. Work on this. Strive for this to make your being called and chosen a certainty. Many are called, few are chosen because people aren't serious about their walk with God. They treat God flippantly and without any awe whatsoever. It's like, oh yeah, I know God. He's my best buddy. He's going to take care of me. Yeah. We're talking about the holy God that loves us. Philippians 3, 13 and 14, page 1468. Brothers, I for my part do not think myself having gotten hold of it. One thing I do, forgetting what is behind me and straining forward to what lies ahead. Verse 14. I keep pursuing the goal in order to win the prize offered by God's upward calling in the Messiah Yeshua. I'm in this for eternity, and it begins right now in this life. I am going to press on into a deeper relationship with God. And so again, let's just look at this again. 2 Kefa chapter 1, beginning in verse 1, and just read through it. From Shimon Kefa, slave and emissary of Yeshua the Messiah, to those who through the righteousness of our God and deliver Yeshua the Messiah, have been given the same kind of trust as ours. Just keep going. May grace and shalom be yours in full measure as you come to a full knowledge of God and Yeshua our Lord. God's power has given us everything we need for life and godliness through our knowing the one who called us to his own glory and goodness. By these he has given us valuable and superlatively great promises, so that through them you might come to share in God's nature and escape the corruption which evil desires have brought into the world. For this very reason, try your hardest to furnish your faith with goodness, and goodness with knowledge, and knowledge with self-control, and self-control with perseverance, perseverance with godliness, godliness with brotherly affection with love. For if you have these qualities in abundance, they will keep you from being barren and unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Yeshua the Messiah. Indeed, whoever lacks them is blind, so short-sighted he forgets his past sins have been washed away. Therefore, brothers, try even harder to make your being called and chosen a certainty. For if you keep doing this, you will never stumble. Verse 11, thus you will be generously supplied with everything you need to enter the eternal kingdom of our Lord and deliver Yeshua the Messiah. You want to make sure you're going to get into the fullness of the kingdom? Get into the fullness of God in your life right now. Amen. Strive. Try your hardest. Work at this. Focus on this. Drive into this reality. This reality of what God has called you to be, what God has created you to be, what God has purposed in your life. God didn't make a mistake with you. I don't care what your parents did. I don't care where you came from. I don't care what you have done in your life. If God has called you into the kingdom, he has a tremendous plan for you. A tremendous plan for you that will last for all eternity. And it starts now. It starts now. Let him use you for his glory. And try even harder. Strive to know him. Strive to know him. Strive. Strive. Press in. Press on. Be blessed. Again, he's not going to let me pray for you until I learn my new lessons on prayer. I'm working on it, kids. Turn off the CD, if you will. Whoa.